one of the issues with multiple traumatic brain injuries, obviously in the NFL and in the military, is a return to play. After receiving a concussion or a mild traumatic brain injury, how soon can a player or how soon can a soldier return to the field? We really don't have a very good grasp on exactly when is it safe at a biochemical level, what's changing in the brain, and how can we detect that? And so I think the focus from when Tom and I were first interested in writing into this proposal was how they were looking for novel, new ways of addressing the issue of traumatic brain injury and detecting it and figuring out the mechanisms.
I need a working definition here. Traumatic brain injury, what is that? A slip and fall on the ice? You hit your head? You know, is it an IED or a blow by a quarterback?
It's all of that. I mean, any kind of concussive injury or even subconcussive injuries can be construed as a traumatic brain injury. It's a scientific, I mean, we look at it as a rationing of force to the brain, causing torsion, you know, rattling,
the
getting
brain,
your head rattling,
literally.
Yeah, the brain literally getting impacted. A lot of it is, you know, when we look at the mild, we're not looking at severe injury to the brain. It's all closed head injury. You know, there's no damage to the skull kind of thing. And so that makes diagnosis harder, you know exactly what's going on. So many things, biochemical connections, all these kinds of things, the activity of cells change upon these kinds of injuries. And I think with the long-term issues now that are becoming associated with multiple injuries over a period of time, say during a playing career, and then the long-term effects that are starting to manifest now with players and military vets with chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which it seems to be like an endpoint or a neurodegenerative disease, which we're starting to link to these multiple head injury events.
Is a person's age, does that affect things as well? Like a high school football player gets knocked around on the field versus a 30, 40-year-old man or woman?
You know, we're trying to figure that out. Juvenile brains, I mean, the research out there shows that there are subtle differences between the way juvenile brain responds to. But again, these are all things we're trying to elucidate and figure out.
Yeah. Dr. Patel, UM is among the 16 winners in this first stage of this challenge. How in the world did you guys bring to the table what you brought to the table?
You know, it started, like most things, in a conversation. Tom and I, research track faculty, and he's worked with TBI models as part of his doctoral work, and I've worked with this protein. And we just got talking, and we had an idea. We did some preliminary data, and we showed that following a single injury, we saw these gross changes in protein expression throughout the brain, not just at the site of injury, for the particular group of proteins we were looking at. And once we had confirmed that what we were seeing was accurate, actually we got some money from the university through the university grant program, which was a grant from Main Hall for $5,000, and that allowed us to do some of our preliminary experiments to look at some of these protein changes, and then some of the molecules that we believe might be resulting in these protein changes. And from that, we were able to get some seed money from the Montana Neuroscience Institute Foundation and the Montana Board of Research and Commercialization. With that funding, we generated enough preliminary data to put together this grant.
That's quite the investment, $5,000 and some other monies, and now it's a $300,000.
You know, we were really fortunate to obviously have the support of these groups. You know, the department has been very helpful in allowing us to continue to do this work. But the great thing about working in Missoula and Montana as a whole is you do find people will really look to see, okay, how can we help you with this? And, you know, we're working in collaboration with St. Patrick's Hospital. They're going to help collect blood samples for us that we can actually use in our studies to test to see if these molecules that we're interested in using as indicators of traumatic brain injury are actually changing in a human population.
That was my question. Yeah. Are you working with animals?
We work with animal models of injury, and based on the findings from those studies, we're trying to translate that through to, do we see these things in the human population, in the population that's affected by these TBIs? Can we discern these changes between these two groups? And then, you know, also as basic research scientists, we're really interested in figuring out the actual mechanisms, what it means for the brain when these changes occur. Can it get healthy again? Are these changes irreversible?
Is there then a second phase if they're happy with the level of progress here?
There is. There are going to be six, I think, awards at $500,000. Through this year, we can prove our concepts, proof of principle experiments. I'm guessing from the 16, they will pick the six that they feel are most likely to succeed. So, I mean, fingers crossed.
No pressure.
I mean, some of the changes we're seeing, I believe, will truly manifest themselves in human beings. It was just the nature of the beings between taking from animal work to human work. There's no guarantees.
There's so much about the brain we don't know, don't we?
Yeah, it's a very, very complex organ. We know a lot of the individual systems, individual circuits, the cellular makeup, the biochemistry. It's figuring out how all that integrates. That's the tough part, I think. Historically, you know, we've learned about individual neurotransmitters, individual circuits in the brain. As our techniques have become more advanced, and some of the groups in this challenge, they do some incredible work in terms of imaging the brain, looking at complex tracks in the brain, looking at connections from different parts of the brain. These are techniques we didn't have 5, 10, 15 years ago. And so these groups now can actually, you know, if someone has suffered an injury, you can actually tell if one part of the brain is not communicating correctly with another part of the brain just based on how their connections have changed.
And then the next logical step is repairing those.
That would be one of the goals. And in doing some of these studies, while, you know, even our work, what I hope we can do is once we've isolated these biomarkers and used them as, you know, a signature of injury, okay, we know they do these things. Can we reverse them? Can we prevent them from doing that? Is there a time scale? You know, these are all questions that we can answer to better understand the actual disease process.
Where it could eventually lead to a Parkinson's or an Alzheimer's?
All those kinds of things. And, you know, a lot of these diseases have lots of things in common. And I think this is one of the interesting things about this particular challenge is that the work that will come out of all of these projects, whether they go on to be the six that, you know, I think we'll find out a lot about how the brain responds under these conditions and the impact of that on other diseases too. The things that we find now in this challenge could affect Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, like all kinds of neurodegenerative diseases.
This head health challenge, what does it mean for UM students, both graduate and undergraduate, or is the benefit limited to you and Dr. Rao?
No. I mean, you know, this is part of our active research programs. And as research track faculties, we are growing our programs. You know, we have other projects going on, but we can't do the work in our laboratories without undergraduates and graduates at various levels. And that's always a very important part of any research lab, I think, here on campus. I mean, we have undergraduates and graduates in all our labs right now, you know, not to put it on money, but as funding improves, you know that. And we have more and more work to do. You need trained, educated kids to be able to help you out. And this is a great way for students to get into things that, you know, have real world consequences. They can really help out in something that's obviously going to be a major issue here for the next few years to come, or if not longer.
I've been speaking with Dr. Sarj Patel, who, along with his colleague, Dr. Thomas Rao, one of the 16 winners of the GE and NFL's $20 million Head Health Challenge. Boy, you guys must be pleased as punch. Congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you, Ed.